Plumbers become super plumbers, installing a super quick water dispenser. Superquick.com.au.
The Big Breakfast, Marto, Robin and the Moon Man, Big Friday edition of the show today.
I learned something thanks to you guys. I am so glad I brought up the question from Married at First Sight. When do blokes become set in their ways?
Ooh, and I gave you the answer.
Yes,
it kind of blew your mind a little bit, didn't it?
It did. It really did.
What was the answer again?
Oh.
You got to listen to the podcast.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to listen to the podcast. It was also Friday Fun One, and we were doing breakup songs. Those songs that you get a little bit of solace from when you get dumped, which you never have been, Marto.
That's right. And I've told you about my girlfriends, haven't you? Haven't I? Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all dead.
Which is fascinating.
That's not a reason to stay, Kath. No, I'm kidding.
It's the only reason she stays with me.
As I said, it's a fun one.
Out of pure fear.
A big show. It all happens on the catch up. Starts now.
For those of us, like me, who aren't that keen on Thursday night football, it's slightly depressing because it means that Married at First Sight isn't on. And we've had it on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
I was watching that comeback from the Saints, so I wasn't thinking of you.
No. Well, you should have been. We've got to wait till Sunday, and Channel 9 have been running massive promos. So if you were watching the footy last night, you probably would have seen a number of the promos because we're going into the final week of this relationship show, and they're bringing back Davina, the Queenslander, who had the emotional affair with Dean and left.
I told Kath that last night. She was beside herself.
Yeah, she's coming back in. It's going to be a very explosive week because they're also going to play all the vision of the affair to the whole group.
Ooh.
So, yeah, they're going to...
You do not want to watch the vision of an affair. Now, was Davina the one, Robin, that came in and chatted to us and Marto just got the hump?
Yes.
He just didn't like her from the word
that's
go.
Her.
But that's before she was even on TV. I smelt
yeah,
something
just,
wrong with her.
You just didn't like
a rat.
Anyway, that's going to get you all excited for Sunday
Botox
night when Married at First Sight returns. But there was something that happened this week that it posed a question that as a woman who works with only men, I actually desperately want an answer to. Okay, So Wednesday night.
I like it when you agony uncle us.
The two older couples, Melissa and John, who are going for their second time round.
Oh, can they just get stuck in with? They're meant for each other, but 2-hour drive's too much for John. She's
all
showing
that
I watched the show.
I was just about to say, look at you go.
Yes.
Anyway, they were both able to ask each other questions that had been really burning within them in front of the group. And this was the question that posed for me.
Okay, what reservations, if any, do you have about us?
I have some major concerns about you and I. I'm very worried that you are incredibly set in your ways and that you probably don't ever want to leave the area that you're in, which is completely fine. I respect and love that about you, but that's not going to suit me.
Okay, boys, so here is my question, and I think every woman wants to know the answer to this.
What is it?
When is it exactly in a man's life that he becomes set in his ways?
Oh, I reckon I've got a couple of theories on this.
Mm-hmm.
Theory number one is it's incremental. Men are habitual creatures, and all of a sudden we start doing things, and after a few years it's creates a groove. It's like the dog doing a figure eight in the back garden. And then before you know it, you are stuck in your ways and think, how did this happen? I come in the front door, I do the same thing, and then I do the same thing every weekend, and people might invite me out to social activities. I go, nah, I'm busy. Well,
Have you got many single blokes who are over the age of 40 that you know in your life? I got three that have never been married.
So when did they turn into those grumpy old men that
they
get
were
stuck
in their
ways?
They were gone. I reckon when they were all about 37 or so.
Ooh.
They were gone, and you knew there was no one could rescue them.
And that's the other side of my theory. Yeah. I reckon that a man gets stuck in his ways when he decides that he's no longer a sexual potential. I reckon when your sex life dies and you just get bogged in your ways because you're not trying to win a woman's heart or
to win her.
When you've written yourself off as a potential partner or your sex life dies, bang, stuck in your ways.
Okay, Moon, there are seven men that work in this building and only three of us are on air and they're all going, yes, you've just nailed it.
Mm. Yeah.
You have just, so actually for all of us women, if you are with someone who is not excited sexually, you are potentially with someone who is going to get stuck in who they are.
I don't reckon married men get stuck in their ways if they're semi-happy though.
Yeah, but often
I'm just talking
married
about
life turns. Yeah, but you're talking about the same sort of thing. I reckon that there's a lot of blokes who are single within a marriage who have drifted emotionally and physically from their wives.
Really?
And they are stuck in
Mardo.
Their wives.
Oh, Mardo, sad. Not everyone is as happy as you, not, and it's wonderful that
not
you are.
Not everyone's as actively sexually as you, Mardo.
No. Are they not?
Yeah, it's the big breakfast, Mardo, and Robin the Moon Man.
Sorry.
Yep, you can't unhear that.
Okay, we get to pick songs you don't often hear on Triple M, and we often have a theme, and this week's theme is about breakups. Now, why? Because of the whole Sonny Bill Williams.
We were talking yesterday when we said, what are we going to do tomorrow, about that, yeah, the Dave Warner, la la la, and then we were talking about breakups, and then we're talking about the songs that help you cope with a breakup.
Okay, what's yours?
Moon, I think you'd walked away when Robin and I were telling. I told Robin something that I've never been through this.
Yeah.
I've never been through a breakup. He's never been dumped.
He's always been the dumpy.
Well,
and I
you
said,
don't know.
I
never
said,
say never.
How much can I pay Kath about now to just let you get that feeling? And you said,
Moon, I've got to tell you, I haven't told Moon this yet, but you're aware of it. I have only had three proper girlfriends and now Kath. All of them are dead.
You had told me that.
Yes.
And so going out with you is like joining Spinal Tap as the drummer.
That's why Kath won't be leaving me.
She knows
you leave in a coffin. You leave our relationship anyway.
When you say, have they died natural causes,
Mardo? Yeah, mate.
End them?
No, I was nowhere near any of them at the time. We weren't together when any of them died. There was no animosity on my behalf. And they're all different methods. Modus operandi.
Kath, it's a death wish. She has to stay with you or die.
She's aware of it.
We're talking three deaths.
Yes, one was an illness, one was a operation, and one was another illness.
Just leaving Mardo.
Yeah,
okay, let's push on. So I don't have a song that I've ever used to get, because when we broke up, I was sort of gave them the brush. So I was talking to a couple of my neighbours yesterday over a beer. I said, listen, I haven't got any breakup songs. What about you blokes? Same thing. And Kath said, my wife said, you'd use Alanis Morissette, Angry Song.
Yeah.
But we realised that's only for the person who gets dumped, yeah, Angry Songs. Otherwise, you play a song like this when you have a breakup.
I just want to make note to you, Mardo, that at another point in time we are going to discuss the fact that you have only in your life had three girlfriends. But,
they're proper girlfriends. They're not just sleeping partners.
Okay.
Having been dumped a couple of times, you know, and how devastating it is.
Oh, sorry.
Just to think that the other person is playing happy is so awful. Where you're like, oh, my life's over, and they're in another room going,
yes!
That long if you feel. Oh, my God. That's so brutal.
Okay, well, I'm going for a song that I actually, sadly, I have been dumped a couple of times.
Sorry,
and when in doubt,
you're still living.
With Rod Stewart. And yeah.
Oh, is this about breaking up?
Yes, it is. It's actually, he says it's an autobiographical song. And when he left the Faces and wanted to become a solo artist, he thought, I should use my life as inspiration. And so this is the song he came up with. But Maggie May obviously was not the woman's name. Mm-hmm. This Maggie May was the name of a folk song from the 1700s about a prostitute.
Oh, God.
So that's why he gave her that name. Oh. So there you
and
go.
I think if I follow the lyrics correctly, Maggie May is an older woman, and she, you know, takes a younger man who's still at school, naughty Maggie, and
be suspended by the education department these days.
Yeah, that's right. She's a PE teacher, and services no longer required.
Short skirt and visor.
What about you, Moon? What do you got?
In 1987, I started going out with Corinne, and she was the first love of my life. Aww. At the time, the song that was kind of like married to our relationship was Slice of Heaven by Dave Dobbin. What? And of course, when...
Was she a Kiwi?
Please. No, she wasn't a Kiwi.
What?
And we even went and saw...
Oh, no, that's your song.
What's
song?
What just happened?
So, what sort of a couple?
So when we broke up, I just listened to that ad nauseam.
did
I watched Foot
you?
Rock Flats again. Yeah, she dumped me. She went to live
in
Mudgee in Western New South Wales. She's got six kids and a failed marriage. Up yours, Corinne!
Chatted our place last night about charity, giving to charity, okay, which is a wonderful thing to do. And we brought up, because we had a couple of neighbours over and we were having a chat about it should start here in Australia. And Kath brought up the fact when our daughter Hillary turned 8, okay, she gave her her present that year was a World Vision, a little child from Kenya, a little photo of the little child. This is how she woke up on her 8th birthday. And Hillary wasn't impressed because 8-year-old girls want a lot more than donating money. Yeah. And we, when we're speaking about this last night, and every year, I think twice a year, Christmas time and halfway through the year, they send you a card, big card. This is for your 11 or two, however much it is. I think it's about $11 a week, something like that,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah, it is. It's not much.
Well, hold on. Not much. I don't want to do it anymore. It's 11 years this has been going on. We've been giving $500 a year to this kid in Kenya who said, you know, writes this note, just scratching. After 11 years, you think you should be able to write properly. But writing, they've just got a well and they've done their seventh timetable. That's about all it says. Yeah, we've got a new well for the town. Thanks for your donation. Is that money... I don't think that money's going anywhere.
What do you mean?
I want to stop paying money to something I can actually see. I want a bit of return. I'm not getting enough out of the canyons.
Well, the Smith family have actually started a routine saying, sponsor an Australian kid.
Yeah, that's I want to be involved in that. I've had enough. I don't know how we got sucked in because...
Hang on. But Australia is the third greatest giving nation in the world. We are known for our ability to help the rest of the world with situations.
Have you seen all the homeless people here in Australia? I'd rather put that money into helping someone
here at
home.
Can't we do both? Why do you have to only exclusively
I'm really not trusting anything that I can't see anymore.
What, because a Kenyan child couldn't do more
than
this?
Mate, I don't reckon that kid's writing that note either. They've got trained experts to write dodgily, so they keep on sucking me in. We were talking about last night, I've got an agreement that everyone said, yeah, I wouldn't bother sending money over there. Yeah, sorry, mate.
Mardo, I don't want you to lose compassion just because you feel like you're sponsoring the village idiot. maybe you need to get over and check this kid out and just go,
no,
hold
all right,
on. You pull up your
one.
Socks, mate, or I'm cutting you off.
3 years into it, Hillary was 11. She wanted to go and visit. We said, what a great idea. Let's all go over to Kenya and visit the little kitty Teroth Remus or something. Actually, there's another thing. The kid's name keeps changing too.
Okay, just hang on. I'll address with that in a second. But what, why didn't you go to Kenya?
We actually wrote a note back to whatever the address. They won't let you go to visit the kid because there may not actually be a kid in Kenya.
No, it may be because it's a bit like visiting an animal in a zoo. Like, I understand that too. Like, because it's a bit, you know, it's that thing where we come over and we look at these people and we go, well, look at them, you know?
Pat like, them on
that's,
the head. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of patronising and not very cool. So, what are you saying?
I'd rather keep my charity here in Australia, a place I can actually see and feel and make a difference rather than over there. I'm not trusting or something.
We can't be too insular with this stuff. I mean, we have got a very, you know, privileged environment here in Australia. We've got a lot. They have famine in Africa a lot of the time. And also, you can't say, I'm shutting Africa down, Marto.
No. It's not about the Kenyans. Like, if I want to help Kenya specifically, I'll go up to Toowoomba. There's a heap of them live up there, and I'll go and give them some money.
But Big Breakfast's can of worms.
Does anyone else
You've
feel
opened
like
another
this?
One.
Yeah.
Marto is saying charity should start at home.
In
Do
Australia,
you agree or disagree?
Paying $39 a month, I think we decided it was. $39 a month to World Vision for a little Kenyan kitty. I'm not up Kenyans. They're tremendous long-distance runners and wonderful rugby players and wonderful people. But I would like to tick a box that goes, my money should go to an Australian kid.
Well, let me give you some statistics. $12.5 billion is given annually by Australians. 80% of us donate. There are 38,000 charities who submit tax returns every year, and only 5,000 of them, so 15%, go outside of this country. So predominantly,
15%.
We are giving within ourselves.
Oh, righto.
But there are some charities, of course, that are external.
How much? I hear occasionally about these charities taking a large slice goes up in administration costs. Anything on that?
Well,
just imagine running something like Red Cross or the Salvos or World Vision. You'd need a huge team of
a workforce, yep.
Damien.
What's happening with me, mate?
What do you reckon? Charity should only be at home?
Robin, I'm with Marto on this 100%. How many homeless people? Like Brisbane, Melbourne, Sydney? You know, a lot of it's not their fault. Some of them, you know, predominantly it might be their fault. They're homeless through gambling addiction or drug addiction. But a lot of them out there have just had a really tough bite of the apple and, you know, we do nothing for them.
Okay.
You know, it's not just the homeless people either. You've got the pensioners. You know, you see on all these reports how much the pensioners get these days. surely we should be dipping into our pocket and, you know, helping them out a little bit.
That's true, but what about when there's, you know, a real crisis in somewhere like the Sudan, or there's, you know, famine or a flood or whatever, you know, and war-torn areas, you can't write them off.
Oh, no, certainly not. You can't write them off, but I think we do more than our fair share, and that's for sure. Like, as a government, you know, we're forever handing out the dollars, but then you've got, you know, like Mardo said, he's dishing out $39 a month for what? A picture of a kid in Kenya.
Yeah, twice a year. I get a little postcard going, thanks very much.
Okay, that's an interesting...
The next day he's got dark hair.
They keep on changing. So am I sponsoring this? I'm sponsoring a village. I'm not sponsoring a kid, am
Potentially.
I?
Potentially. Yeah, that's generally how they do it, is the money goes into a pool.
I'm going to stop and find a charity that I actually see can change things.
But if you do it like Damien says, the government's responsible for the external and we are responsible for internal. Jamie of Griffin, what do you reckon?
I'm all for giving anything that's within Australia. I've got an ex-friend of mine that actually runs a charity, and he couldn't give two stuffs about the charity. It's all about money, and I know for a fact how it works. You know, the people that stop you in the shopping centre and harass you to sign up?
Yes.
Okay, I'm not allowed to say any names, but, you know, they've got the ones that saved wildlife and this and that and whatever else. I know for a fact he told me that he gets, per person, $500 a sign-up, and the staff get 100, and about 50 cents goes to the cause. 2 years ago, he had nothing. Now he's got a $100,000 car, and a unit he pays $800 a week for, and he's a jerk.
And that's what we all fear, isn't it, when it comes to charity, whether our dollar's getting through. And obviously there's some cases like that where people are lining their own pockets. But I don't think that that's common.
I hope not. Paul of the Sunny Coast, what do you think about charity? Should it only be at home?
Have a look on the web at Jack Thompson Foundation as the actor. He's setting up a system that looks after, right from the Gulf of Carpentaria right across to Western Australia, there's 950 homelands. They're all living in poverty.
Yep.
And the setup is to teach them how to build their houses the way they want them, where they want them, and it's just a lot better system than giving them a house they don't want where they don't want it. And it's also training them to build and leaving them with something that they can continue on with. And
that's brilliant.
It's a brilliant system.
Hey, Paul, I spent a year of my life building houses up in Arnhem Land in Aboriginal communities when I was younger, and I'm changing my money from World Vision to Jack Thompson, did you say?
Yeah, Jack Thompson.
Jack Thompson Foundation.
Beautiful. Yeah. That's done. If there's nothing else achieved out of this, I'm doing something real.
There we go. Thank you, Paul. 100% of people, in fact, that called through have said, yes, charity should be kept here in Australia. So there you go. That's the can of worms for today. The Big Breakfast.
No
Marto,
more wells for Kenya.
Marto, Robin and the Moon Man, Triple M.
Yes, a fabulous Friday to you, Bobby. How you going?
Good morning to you, Robbo. Hello, Moonman. Hello, Marbo. And to you all in Brisbane. Do you know where I am today?
Are you in LA?
No, I am not. I got straight on a plane, went to Cape Town, South Africa. I'm in the Southern Sun Hotel. I'm just hanging out here. Oh, it's all happening. Sonny Bill Williams rocked up. David and Candace aren't happy. And then all of a sudden last night at the bar, what a coincidence, Marcus Baghdad has turned up, David Williams and Brent Staker. I'm in the sauna just waiting for a bit of action. Come on. Give it to me.
Can we talk about Donald Trump Jr. and Vanessa Trump, man? Marriage in trouble, I hear.
Oh, Donald Trump Jr. and Vanessa Trump, they've got five kiddies, they've been married for an eon, and now it's crumbling under the pressure of the presidency. Oh, poor old Donald Trump Jr. You'll get that when your dad bangs your missus. No, I'm just kidding. But I'll tell you what, Donald Trump Jr. looks like he's running off the rails. He's been sending out some crazy tweets late at night under the auspices of a few burbies, a couple of Suburbans and Cokes. And he's wife is not happy, so hopefully they can make things work.
Talking making things work, Riri's angry.
Oh, she's very angry. She's angry at Snapchat. I'll tell you what, Snapchat, get under your umbrella, because Riri, she's coming for you. The girl that doesn't mind a bit of a blunt and bite off, she's angry because Snapchat have run a promotion saying, would you rather snap Riri, or punch Chris Brown. Making jokes about domestic violence is not on. White Ribbon Snapchat, you naughty, 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 naughty. So get under that umbrella.
You know Riri is Rihanna, don't you?
I'll be in the sauna. I'll be in the sauna of the Southern Sun Hotel. I believe you've stayed here, have you, Marto?
Yes, I have. I was there last September.
Oh, did you work up a sweat?
Okay. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Shriek, have a wonderful weekend.
I will have a wonderful weekend right up the middle. Bye now. He's our man with all the Hollywood guys.
It's Bobby Shriekman. Oh, wow. Big breakfast, Marto.
Rihanna. Rihanna. You know,
that's the umbrella thing. Oh, that doesn't matter.
Yeah, don't. It went straight over his head.
Triple M.
Okay, I have a confession, guys. I'm an Airbnb virgin.
What does that mean?
I've never been in one. I've thought about it and I've looked at them and I've travelled a fair bit, but when it comes to being a single mum of three teenagers, it freaks me out a little bit.
Why? Airbnb curious you are, but what's freaking you out?
For those people who don't know what Airbnb is, it's pretty much the Uber of hotels, isn't it? People put their houses up to share, so you can just get online and get a place, accommodation, anywhere in the world.
So, why are you talking about it?
Okay, so yesterday I spent my life in Airbnb land because I've decided that Sean, my partner, has got to stay in Sydney for Easter, and so we were debating what we're going to do. And so I just said to the boys yesterday, how about we just go up to Noosa and we hang out and go to the beach. And, well, a girlfriend of mine's got a house on the Noosa River.
Oh, that's sensational.
So I thought, well, if I get an Airbnb somewhere close, like I've got some mates and my boys have got friends who are going to be up there. So, and I looked at the normal standard accommodation yesterday and nearly died.
Oh, you can't go to a hotel or anything. It's probably $2,500 for the weekend, is it?
And the rest.
And more.
Oh, some of them are $5,000. Anyway, okay, so let me just, this is what I found yesterday, right? So this is what is making me slightly nervous. Yeah. I found this place. It's called Retro Style Two-Story House. Mm-hmm. Level one private home of occupants.
Yep.
Ground floor available for bed and breakfast. And then it goes in and it's got the bed configuration.
Oh, the owners are living upstairs.
That's right. And there's steps, like internal stairs. And I'm thinking, am I living and they're just there?
Yeah.
Isn't that a bit weird?
If I was going to Airbnb, I wouldn't have somebody in the house. Mind you, and because I Lou, my wife, takes care of all the accommodation on tour, but I've been to Italy and lived in the same house as the family, and they, you know, cut the house in half, and it was great. There was no issue about it. You know, there's a door and you don't go through it and they don't come through it and that's it.
There must be horror stories, though. Or am I just, just getting a bit freaked
Kath
out?
Kath did it over when she went overseas with her girlfriends. They did it everywhere they went, Spain, France, etc. They were over there for about a few weeks. And I've done it once last Easter, all of them. She had nothing but good.
You don't find hair in the sink or anything?
Oh, I don't think so. You might find a large singlet in the dryer.
I wasn't looking. You can find that anywhere. I reckon it's good, but there's probably somebody has had a nightmare.
I want to get your Airbnb stories. Good.
You only want bad?
Bad. No, I want them all. And if people actually Airbnb their own spaces, that could also be interesting. Yeah, I'd love to hear them.
When you stayed there, Moon, you just have a little lockbox and they give you the combination, the keys inside there, so you had no connection with anyone.
Is it safe, though, like with me and my boys?
Yeah.
I think it's safe, but your boys might trash the joint, so it might not be safe for the people who are going to give you the place.
What did you do in Sydney? You went and found one, didn't you?
We had one at Manly. So it was brilliant. Right on the beach, no hotel, just somebody's apartment. And
did they leave?
Yeah, no, the girl didn't live. It was some young girl who owned it.
If you're who's a hottie and there? You own an Airbnb, you just stay around in your undies, just like, oh, g'day, folks. How you going?
Added value.
You going out?
Yeah. Nah.
Do you
want to smash a couple of cones?
Hey, Jenny.
Hello.
Hi, tell us about Airbnb.
I personally haven't used it myself. However, I do have a daughter who's 20 and she was working at Splendor in the Grass and it wasn't ideal for her to stay in the campsites there, being that she was working, so needed a decent shower, all that sort of stuff. So she found an Airbnb nearby it was a mum actually, husband was away working, had a couple of kids and she had her own room with an ensuite. And I, as a parent, took heaps of comfort knowing that every night she was going home to somewhere that could you know, make sure she was safe. So, yeah, and then she's used it again when they attended Paul's Festival. Stayed, her and a girlfriend stayed down at, I think it's, is it Mullumbimby?
Mm-hmm. And sure is.
Yeah, yeah. So, and there was a bit of that other going on that you were just talking about.
Mullumbimby, yeah. That yeah. Well, yeah, that's where it gets its name.
It's called Mullumbimby Madness.
So it was, yeah, I think they're a great idea. Right. Just make sure you really suss out the references.
Yeah, but Robin won't be staying with another family like in their spare bedroom, I don't think.
No.
No.
Okay. I don't think so.
That's good to hear.
But that is a nice story, isn't it? You know, that comfort of a parent.
Just become another child in that family.
Yeah.
A spare room.
Do you think I could give one of my boys away?
Oh, my God. Spread them or farm them out. Farm them out to three different places.
Mark of Bulimba, have you had an Airbnb story, good, bad or indifferent?
Yeah, I have. I had to go back to America for 3 months to clean some stuff up. And when I got back there, all the hotels were like 70, 80, 90 bucks a night. So I went on Airbnb and I ended up finding a place which was $29 a night. It was sharing it with the family that owned the house. And because I took it on a month-to-month basis, I actually got a discount. So it ended up costing me about $24 a night.
Weird though, living with the family?
No, look, the first couple of nights until I started getting to know them and talking to them and stuff like that. And what they've done is, because it was their holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas, they blocked off a bunch of dates. And then after getting to know them, what they said was, look, we're just going to unblock all those dates, just book it up. And they allowed me to stay for Thanksgiving dinner and have Christmas Day with them and everything. I mean, we've now actually become very good friends. They had a young child. And it was a real positive experience. But the one thing I will tell you, Robin, or anybody else that's listening, what you need to do, you need to very definitely, before you book, look at the rules. Because a lot of people that have Airbnb will have rules like, you know, can't come home after 8 o'clock at night, must be out of the house by 10 o'clock in the morning and not return until 4 in the afternoon. And, yeah, so there's a lot of conditions that you've got to read. The best ones are the ones that have got really stellar reviews and basically couldn't care less whether you were there all day or, or didn't turn up at all.
Okay. Yeah, I reckon that's why I like a hotel room, because a hotel room doesn't, when you go in, that doesn't go, don't do that with the curtains. They don't have rules, you know.
Yeah. But you feel like a local Airbnb.
Well, I was
hoping you feel like a visitor.
I was hoping for some horror stories, so I just Googled Airbnb horror stories, and the first thing that came up, the flat that became a pop-up brothel.
Oh, yes. That's what you want. How a little much? Bit of business acumen.
How much?
Address,
say.
Please.
Yeah. And Marcel of Ormo, Airbnb.
Well, good morning, team. So this story, there was 10 of us blokes from the local baseball team here on the Gold Coast, and we went out to Toowoomba for the night to play an A-grade game.
Yeah.
And there was 10 of us in the one B&B, and so our instructions were not to annoy the lady because apparently she was sleeping on the couch. Oh,
so 10 of you.
What?
10 blokes, please don't annoy a lady.
Gentlemen.
What?
Yeah. She leased out all her beds to us gentlemen for the game. And, so we got a pretty bad review because after the game we went out, enjoyed ourselves, came back. And, so we had internationals who didn't speak English, so she was having a go at them for being loud and obnoxious.
Baseball, and, there would have been someone spitting tobacco all over the place.
Seeds everywhere. And
oh, God.
Did you annoy that lady?
She was pretty annoyed. She left a pretty bad review on our stay. So.
Oh, dear.
Well, there you go. Don't do any of that, Robin.
No. Okay. Oh, and then number 7 of the horror stories of Airbnb, the house that actually burnt down.
Oh, well played. Yeah.
Something extraordinary happened in Australian public service life yesterday, and that is the Governor General sacked the head of the Border Force, Roman Quaidvlieg.
Is that how you say it? Right? I don't know.
That'll do.
Let's just go with that. Quaid something.
Or Quaidvlieg. Anyway, he has been in the news because he's the head of the Australian Border Force, like I said, the Australian Border Force Commissioner. I was previously a customs officer, so he would have been my boss if I was still in the job. And I know some people still in the job, and I've got to say that Roman was a feared man. He ruled with an iron fist, and he was very influential and pushed on by the Turnbull / Abbott government.
Just explain, the Border Force is everyone patrolling our waters, everyone patrolling our airports and immigration, they're all his people.
And our male exchangers. So what was previously customs officers are now border force.
And he's the boss of all of them.
So people processing your passport on the way out and on the way in at airports and searching your bags.
Okay, so let me bring it right back. If I'm watching border security, he's the boss of those people.
He is the boss of those people. He is also a uniformed man. Now, he stepped aside in May last year so there could be an examination into what was seen as inappropriate behaviour. He had had a relationship with a staff member, and then that staff member had got a job within, you know, his department, if you like. So basically, very kind of Barnaby Joyce type thing.
Yeah.
Relationship and then rewarded with a bigger position. Now, mind you, he stepped aside on $617,000 a year, $100,000 more than our Prime Minister gets.
How can that be possible? You're working for a public servant and you're making more than the Prime Minister.
Well, senior public servants are very well remunerated. I mean, they run the department long after the ministers. They see ministers come and go. Mm. Ministers are there for 3 years or 6 years. These guys are there for, you know, 10, 20 years. So it's very important to have somebody solid at the head of a public service department. What's fascinating about this, though, is as the inquiry's gone on, it's been revealed that he's been texting this woman. Now, how many texts a year has he sent? Because you revealed it to me this morning, and this is extraordinary. I don't know whether he's doing his job at $617,000 a year when he delivered how many text messages?
14,000 text messages to his younger lover.
You know what he's doing.
Do you know how many that is a day?
How many
is that a day?
38 and a half a day text messages. Like, that's a lot of milk to get. You know, can you pick some up on the way home?
No. Come on. What's he doing? Don't let me be the person to tell you this.
Don't
seriously.
Don't tell me. Is he sending pictures or is it just text?
No, mate.
What?
They're sexting.
When you say sexting, is it pictures or is it just, I'd like to do this and then, I'll do this?
I doubt it's pictures because then other people can potentially see.
But
it's just backwards and forwards.
I'm reading the paper. It's saying that all the rest of the staff thought she was his goddaughter because obviously he's
terrifying.
Gone, it's my goddaughter. Can you get her a job? Yeah, sort all that out.
Yeah, right. No. Instead, they spend a lot of time sexting each other.
You don't know that for sure, though, do you?
But if you're sending 38... If you're sending 38 a day and you are in the throes of love, it could be like thinking about you too, heart, I love you, a bit of that and a bit of naughty words as well. So you could probably potentially pull off 38 a day without too much problem.
That's a lot. No way. God,
but you might think that there might be some other stuff in your inbox, like, I don't know, terrorists.
Got a bit on today.
The eyes problem.
I'm going to keep it to 30 today.
Just can't wait to get home and watch, you know, Married at First Sight with you. Don't worry about that stuff in the north of Australia.
Those Mexican drug cartels sneaking through. Oh, I love you.
That's not what they're saying, boys. But anyway, keep going.
He needs his $600,000 to pay his phone bill by the sounds of it. The Big Breakfast with Marto, Robin and the Moon Man on Triple M.
Plumbers become super plumbers, installing a super quick water dispenser. Superquick.com.au.